The federal government is about to tell the big banks, we'll see you in court.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The federal government is on the verge of filing lawsuits against the nation's biggest banks. The New York Times reports this morning that the suits will accuse the banks of selling bad mortgages during the housing boom and saying they were top quality. The government mortgage companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac suffered losses of more than $30 billion. For more on this, let's bring in Elliot Spoon. He teaches mortgage finance at the Michigan State University Law School. He's with us from East Lansing. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, do you think that this is a winning argument for the federal government?
I think it is a good argument for the federal government, but it is not a slam dunk lawsuit that they can win. There are a number of obstacles that lay before them.
What do you think the banks are going to say?
I think the banks are going to say, number one, we didn't make any material misstatements. Two, that we didn't know about the misstatements because they came from the mortgage originators. And three, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you're big, sophisticated investors. You know this business better than we do, and you have to rely on your own expertise when making these kinds of investments.
Is this really about recouping losses, or is this about assigning blame for the mortgage mess that led us into this recession?
Well, I think it's about both. I think that anytime one of these lawsuits are brought, one party is essentially trying to say, I was innocent. I was just acting in the ordinary course of business. So in that sense, it's about one party saying, I'm not to blame, and the other party is. But it also, as a necessary consequence, has to allocate the losses. In this case, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have already been supported by the taxpayer, upwards of $150 billion. And so if they win this suit, it will soften that blow for the taxpayers, but it won't have any material effect on the mortgage market.
If the federal government wins this case down the road, however long it takes, and the banks have to cough up another $30 billion, doesn't that then put the financial system in a weakened position and therefore weaken the entire economy?
I think there's something to that. I think that one of the unintended consequences is that if these kinds of suits prevail, and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are not the only parties that are bringing these type of suits against the banks, in this case, it might help the taxpayer in the short run by lessening the amount we have to fund Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But if it ultimately weakens seriously major banks, taxpayers are going to have to give the money right back.
Elliot Spoon teaches mortgage finance at Michigan State University Law School. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Well, if it hadn't been for the news of the lawsuits against the banks, today would have been all about jobs. The big monthly employment report from the Labor Department comes out in just about a half an hour. It'll tell us how many jobs were created in August. Analysts are guessing around 60,000. And it'll tell us what the new unemployment rate is. Analysts are guessing that will stay at 9.1%. Now, the monthly jobs day is kind of a big deal among economists. We even have a little office pool here at Marketplace to guess what the numbers will be. And I can tell you from experience that the intern usually beats all of us and all the analysts, too. Okay, let's do the numbers we already know. Stocks are lower in overseas trading this morning, down more than 2% across Europe right now, as talks to determine whether Greece will get more bailout money had to be halted. Here in the U.S., more evidence of trouble for chain store The Gap. The discount chain Ross Dress for Less is about to overtake The Gap in market value, even though it only has a third as many stores and no online sales. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dressed down 119 points to close at 11,493.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com.
To all you meat lovers out there, you better savor that Labor Day barbecue this year because the price of beef is headed for a stampede next year and beyond. The reason is deep in the drought of Texas. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
This is a story best told by ranchers living the drought. Guys like Pete Bonds.
Hello.
He's got a whole lot of cows.
Tens of thousands.
And not enough water.
The worst drought I've ever seen.
And even the old-timers, he says?
A bunch of old men that have seen the droughts of the 50s and the 30s and even the teens.
Even those old men haven't seen a drought like this one.
This one, it is just flat forgot to rain.
And ranchers who don't have rain don't have a lot of choices. They can buy hay, but hay is expensive because hay is grass and grass takes rain.
And where it has rained is a long way away from Texas.
So ranchers are sending their cows to the slaughterhouse, the older ones first. David Anderson is a livestock economist in Texas.
We make a lot of hamburger out of older cows.
He says right now, hamburger prices are lower than they would have been without the drought because more cows are being killed. But that's a problem for the future.
Because every cow that's gone now is one less calf next year, which is going to become less beef the year after that.
And that means higher prices. Anderson expects the cost of hamburger to go up first, sometime early next year, and the price of T-bones and roasts to jump in 2013. I suppose you could call it the high stakes of the Texas drought.
I mean, if a cow is even thinking about getting old, she goes.
I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, Allstate Insurance has a report out this week ranking the 200 largest cities in America when it comes to safe drivers. The winner is Fort Collins, Colorado, where the average driver will only experience a collision every 14 years. The national average is 10 years. As for the road scholars who could use a bit more schooling on the road, drivers in L.A. get in a crash every 6.6 years. And the home of the worst drivers is Washington, D.C., every 4.8 years. We've got the list at marketplace.org on the right side of the page. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Living Social, Groupon, the Daily Deal, all the rage, of course. But how many discounts can you give before you go out of business?
If you get a response and you're a little teeny sandwich shop for 10,000 sandwiches, it's going to hurt your business instead of help your business.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Good deal, bad deal. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM. That's American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.